Thank you for listening to this download from dhmissions.com. All of us here at DH Missions hope that this message will be encouraging to you and help develop your walk with the Lord.
I'm really happy to be here in New Hampshire. I never thought in a million years I'd ever live here. But here I am, following after the cloud. It can be quite a trip chasing the cloud, you know. I've chased the cloud into a number of different countries over the years, starting in 1993 after I got out of Bible school in Columbus, Ohio. A friend of mine and myself began to travel into different nations. It was just God. There were some invitations that came into our hands from different countries, and we had a chance to minister in several different nations. And there were a couple of other Bible school friends of mine that miraculously received invitations in different countries. And between three or four people, I found myself ministering in 11 nations over a period of about 6 or 7 years. And the thing that was the most miraculous thing about the whole situation was I just was going through the worst time financially in my entire life, with virtually no money at my disposal, yet these doors to nations were opening up, and somehow, miraculously, I would receive a word from God, then I would pursue God in prayer and fasting just to make sure that I was getting a confirmation that I was hearing from God accurately. And when I got my confirmation, I would do all that I could do, which wasn't much. I would make an airplane reservation, and that was about as far as it could go. And miraculously, God would meet the need every time. And I found myself in nations ministering in churches, mostly small ones, but sometimes occasionally I'd find myself in a church of 2,000 or 3,000. And God would give me words for these people. Sometimes these words would come from doing geographical studies of the region I was going to, and I would see that the geography would speak to me. Other times I would do historical studies, and the history of that people group would speak to me according to what the plan of God was concerning their lives in the future. Other times there were economic and political situations that would speak to me. Other times it was just a scripture from the Word of God would speak to me. We visited here for about a week in August of 2002. And this church was just a newly upstarting church. And the geography of this place in New Hampshire was speaking to me. If you look at the soil in this area, you'll find that you don't go very deep and you hit granite. Granite was speaking to me of a solid foundational item. So spiritually, the metaphor that was coming to me was that you can build a solid spiritual future here in New Hampshire. There were other things that I saw. There were more trees here than I've ever seen anywhere else. And trees are used as building materials for houses and buildings. And so metaphorically, God was speaking to me that not only are there solid spiritual foundations that can be used here to launch ministry-wise or spiritually in your walk with God, but there were elements here at our disposal where we could build a solid house for the Lord, build a solid structure of ministry and living for Jesus Christ from this place. But there were other things I noticed, too. I noticed there were a lot of stone walls that are built, you know, just little boulders, and they're piled up into walls, and there were walls of separation everywhere here in New Hampshire. And so I began to ask God about what is the spiritual climate of New Hampshire? What is the condition of the body of Christ? You know, I have a friend, well, actually a man and his wife, Paul and Nuala O'Higgins. They live in southern Florida in the neighborhood that my mother lives in. And they've been friends of our family for years. And every time I run into Paul and Nuala, Paul asks me this one question right off the bat. he says, "Brother, what is the condition of the body? How is the body doing in New Hampshire?" when I saw him last. And I've been pursuing God for a couple of years about what is going on with the body of Christ here in New Hampshire, in New England. And I began to get some impressions from the Lord, and I wanted to share some of them with you here today. One of the first impressions I got of the body of Christ in New Hampshire was the first couple of weeks that we came up here. Can I backtrack for just a few minutes and give you some historical things in my life of where I've come from and how I wound up here? So I spent most of my life in Columbus, Ohio, and went to Bible school there and met Rick and Rosie Penny there in Bible school in 1990. And so I've known their children ever since they were little toddlers. And it's been really something to watch them grow up, and every one of their children is serving the Lord. Amen. And then in 2002, after a couple of years of prayer, I remained very close with Rick and Rosie over the years. The Lord would impress upon me to make a phone call, and it's every time I'd make a phone call to them, it seemed like they were at the end of their rope getting ready to give up, and the Lord would give me some words of encouragement for them. And so over a period of a couple of years, Rick and Rosie and I and David Bickford were praying about starting a Bible school at their ministry in North Carolina, which we did in 2002. And the Bible school lasted for nearly about 9 months or so. We were all of the impression that the ministry there was getting ready to just explode. But actually, it was beginning to close up. But God really showed up at this Bible school. It was really amazing. There were a number of times where all of us, Rick and Rosie and David and myself, would stand in front of the class getting ready to teach, and you just couldn't teach because the Spirit of God was moving so strong, and we would just have to worship God. And then in the fall of 2002, that's when we arrived here in New Hampshire. So I began to notice a few things about the body of Christ. And about the second week that we were here in New Hampshire, Rick and Rosie came to me saying, "You'll never believe what we ran into." Because we were all praying about the state of the church here in New Hampshire in the New England area. And they said they ran into a lady that was selling calendars for their church as a fundraiser, but they were what we call a beefcake calendar, you know. They had this guy that was hired to clean the church steeple. And the guy was really physically fit, so they took some snapshots of him and made a calendar out of it for a fundraiser. And it was a denominational church, and I'm going, "Oh, brother," you know. I was beginning to get a couple of clues as to what the condition of the church may be here in this area. And then I ran across the Weekly Flea. Has everybody run across the Weekly Flea? It's a newspaper. It's a small local newspaper that has one ads in it. And this is about a year ago, November the 27th, 2003. And right on the front page, right in the middle, it says, "Articles for Sale." And I began to get a little more insight as to the condition of the body of Christ here in New Hampshire as I read this article. It said, "Nuns having fun." And I'm not pointing out the finger at any one particular denomination or church group, you know, but anyway, it says, "Nuns in full habits, hula hooping, bowling, skeet shooting, fishing, driving bumper cars, nostalgic wall calendar, $11.95. So I began to get a couple of ideas as to where the church might be in this area, and that the church lacked a little bit of direction. And so I continued to pursue after God. Exactly what are you going to do in New England? Why am I here? Why is anybody here? And what is going to happen? And sure enough, God began to speak to me through the scriptures this time. And he directed me to Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 5. And he began to give me a message that I've entitled "The New England Outpouring." The New England Outpouring. And like Bill was saying, I was invited to speak to you last week, and this is the message that God put on my heart last week. And sure enough, God began to demonstrate what he put on my heart to speak to you about. There were a number of us that became Holy Ghost floor mops last week, you know, as the Spirit of God just dropped on us. And there are a number of unusual things that God's about to bring forth into the body of Christ. And I've seen God do some amazing things in some different countries that He's taken me to in the past. And as I go through this message, I'll use a couple of them as examples for you. But I wanted to read through Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 5 in the New American Standard Version. In verse 1 it says, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down." Oh man, this really speaks to me. I really see the heavens beginning to open up over New England, wider than they've opened up in times past. They've opened up in areas before, but they're going to open up wide. They're going to open up wide over New England. God is going to give us access to His throne. God's going to give us access to see His face. God is going to give us access to His kingdom in ways that we've never imagined possible. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. It's been a cry of my heart to see God come down from heaven and truly walk amongst His people. There was a time in 1996 where I had an opportunity to minister in Kenya for 3 weeks. I went with another friend of mine from the Bible school that I graduated from, and we went to Kenya for 3 weeks. Mostly I was given the assignment to teach morning sessions, and my friend took the evening sessions. His name was Jim Hughes. Well, his name still is Jim Hughes. But yeah, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, right? Book them, Dano. Murder one, yeah. Okay, so, there's a friend of ours that's a pastor over there in Kenya. His name is Ken Shiku. And Ken invited Jim and I to go over for 3 weeks. And Ken took us to a city where his wife is from. And it's called Bungoma, Kenya. It's over on the western border of Kenya. I saw more poverty in this nation than I've seen anywhere else. I've seen a lot of poverty in different places that I've gone. But this is like a high, just a greater level of poverty. Just tin roof material leaning together to make some form of a shelter for families to live in. The average family in Kenya that I saw had about a 10 foot by 10 foot square room for an entire family to live in. Some of the ones that were more, that were better off had like a poured concrete floor and concrete block walls and then a corrugated tin roof. They'd have a little camp stove in there for their cooking stove and a little plastic bin for holding dishwater in it. And there'd usually be a community well where they could pull some muddy water from a well. And that's about all they had. That's about all they had. So they took us into this city called Bungoma. And there was a main road that went through the city, and everything off the main road was a gravel road. A whole lot similar to the gravel roads we see around here, only a lot bumpier. And so as we went into the bush off the main road, we went in about a half a mile, three quarters of a mile, and we found a picnic shelter back there. But this picnic shelter was big enough to hold about 1,000 people. It was probably about a little more than twice the size of this gymnasium. But there were windows in the openings of the concrete blocks, but no windows in there. They were just openings. And doors that were just openings for the doors, and a poured concrete floor, and they had wooden benches. It would hold about 1,000 people, and they had 2 strings of light bulbs, about a dozen light bulbs all together toward the front of the structure, and that was their lighting system. And they had nailed together about 2 4x8 sheets of plywood for their pulpit area that were sitting on, you know, about 10 or 12 inches off the ground. And so they had an old rickety drum set, They had the oldest synthesizer out there. It was like one of the original Korg synthesizers that came out in the 70s. And they had an old beat-up PVPA system. So it was the best they could do. But I want to tell you something. They may not have had much in the natural, but boy, did they have a lot of God there. I came to find out what was really important. As I worshiped with these people, I heard such a purity of worship coming from their hearts. It just broke me in two. I was just a basket case. It was all I could do to keep myself together, just hearing the purity of the worship and the crying out of the people toward God. So we had an evening service, which in that church began at 2:30 in the afternoon. My friend Jim gave a very strong prophetic message, giving direction that the Lord had revealed to him concerning that body of people. It was very pointed, and you could feel it was hitting the mark. And the presence of God kept increasing. It kept increasing. A major rainstorm hit because it was the rainy season. And they told us after the service that when the rainstorms come in the afternoon, that you'd usually have to compress the congregation over to one side of the structure because it would be raining in the windows. Well, this time when it rained, it didn't rain in the windows. And it had never done that there before. So people were recognizing that God was moving in a way that he'd never moved before. At the end of the service, my friend Jim made an altar call to people that wanted to receive a touch from the Lord. And in the evening service, there were about 650 people there, and they all came scrambling toward the altar, pushing each other out of the way with such fervor. They wanted to have a touch from God. They were so hungry for a touch from God. They were pressing their way in a mass toward the altar area. My friend Jim didn't know what to do, so he just cried out to God and started singing a prophetic song in tongues, just hoping that somehow God would come down and touch each person individually, because there were too many for him to pray for one-on-one. It would have taken a long time. You have to understand something. Someone that was really blessed in this area had a bicycle for transportation. There were only about 3 motor vehicles for the whole congregation of 1,000 people. Most of the people were walking to the service. Some of them were walking as much as 12 to 15 miles just to receive a touch from God. And they were extremely dedicated and hungry for a move of God, to be taught in the things of the Scriptures. So my friend Jim begins singing prophetically, God, can you touch them? In his mind, he's praying and crying out to God, can you touch them individually? And he's singing in tongues. Well, the lady that was on the synthesizer, she wasn't very highly developed in her ability to play, but she was playing bass notes with the left hand and block chords with the right. And she was hearing where Jim was going with the prophetic song and matching up perfectly. It was amazing. And at that point, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, get on that old rickety drum set and start playing those drums. And I'm wrestling with God about it. I'm going, well, God, you know, things are going fine. And the Holy Spirit got more demanding. He says, get on the drums and start playing the drums now. The guy that was usually playing the drums was sitting off to the side, and the Holy Spirit wasn't moving on him to get on the drums. And so I went over and sat down on the drums and began to play. And what began to happen was the Spirit of God began to flow from heaven. The heavens just ripped wide open in such a way that it came down on me so strong, I was starting to wonder if I was going to live through it. I was playing the drums and just shaking my head, and the Spirit of God was moving so strong. I opened my eyes to see someone standing in front of me, and they turned around because they sensed something was going on. And when they looked at me, all of a sudden it began to shake under the power of God. Next thing you know, they fell out under the power of God, and not only them, but about 20 or 25 people fell out in a wave. They were tumbling over the tops of the wooden benches and rolling on the ground, and some of them were laughing hilariously, and some of them were being delivered from demon power, and some were coming to salvation for the first time. Others were receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and others were being healed. It was just amazing. And then someone else turned around and looked at me, and I'm sitting here just trying to live through this, man. Next thing you know, another wave of people fell out. It was like watching one of those Reinhardt Bonnke videos where you just see waves of people falling out, or a Benny Hinn video where you see just like bowling pins, you know, just going down. And it happened about three or four times. And then next thing you know, my friend Jim and the pastor of the church, they're on the pulpit area. They looked at me. And when they looked at me, they began to dance like their feet were on fire. And they were flapping their arms like they're trying to fly away. And then people, what happened was, is that that anointing that was on me shifted over to them. And when people started to look at them, man, more waves would fall out. It was truly amazing. And then all of a sudden, you could just feel God walk in the middle of this place. So many times I've heard Christian musicians singing songs similar to Holy, 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 and it's just like Holy, 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 Holy. But I'm telling you, man, when you truly are face to face with God, you're going Holy, 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 don't destroy me, God. You become acutely aware of the sinful condition that you were born in. And that's what happened to all of us there that night. We were face to face with God. We were face to face with Him, man. You could feel it. The awesomeness of His presence. The intense holiness of God. It was beyond anything I could stand. I began hiding behind the pulpit area. God, man, please don't destroy me, man. I'm not even worthy to be anywhere close to you like this. And that's what the holiness of God is all about. Now, as I began to read this passage in Isaiah 64, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. The next line says that the mountains might quake at thy presence. Now, metaphorically speaking, when you see mountains in the scriptures, many times we can interpret that as blockades or challenges that we face. The scripture that comes into my mind is Mark 11, 22 through 24, where Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and then the disciples said, hey, you know, they passed by it the next morning, and they said, this thing has died from the roots up. And Jesus said, well, if you just speak to the mountain and believe in your heart that what you speak is going to come to pass, you shall have what you say. So using that portion of Scripture, you can use that to interpret what the mountains are going to quake at thy presence means. God is going to move mountains out of the way. God is going to move mountains out of the way because of His presence. I started looking up the word presence and determining the Hebrew origins of the word presence. It comes from a word called panim, panim. And this is right out of the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. If you have a Strong's Concordance, you'll find a Hebrew and a Greek dictionary in the back of it. And I pretty much wear mine out. I really like to dig into a scripture and find out what is it really, really saying in the original text. And I'm not really a Greek scholar. I'm not really a Hebrew scholar. But you can find some things out just by, I know how to use a dictionary. Thank God for that, you know. And so we can learn a lot of things from looking at what Strong's has. So this word about the presence at quake, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, panim. The first thing that it says is the face as the part that turns. God is going to reveal His face in New England. He's going to pull the heavens open in such a way that His face is revealed in New England. Mountains are going to crumble at the revelation of the face of God. Different ways that this word is used in the King James is countenance or face or favor. God's favor is going to cause mountains to crumble. The fear of or the fear for God is going to cause mountains to tremble. Heaviness. It's used as the word heaviness in several passages of Scripture. Heaviness, that's like referring to the anointing of God. When you look at the origins of the word anointing, you're going to see that one of them is heaviness or weightiness. There are times where people just get crushed into the floor. It's because of the weightiness of the anointing or the presence of God flowing onto them and flowing into them. And so that's what it's referring to about thy presence here. Another way it's used is to meet. God's going to meet with us. God's going to meet with his people. And not only that, he's going to meet with people that have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is going to be an all-inclusive revealing of God. A total expansive of God revealing himself to the nations. And that'll become evident as I read the next couple of verses. Another way that this word panim is used is when we see the word showbread in the Bible. The literal definition of showbread is the bread of his face, the bread of the face of God. We're going to be able to eat of the bread of the face of God, the bread of heaven, the bread of life, and see him face to face. So I was seeing these things in the word thy presence, that the mountains will quake at thy presence. You know, when you really come into the presence of God, faith comes alive. You can be facing just unbelievable challenges, unbelievable mountains, but when you really come into the presence of God, those mountains seem very small. You know, lots of times we need to quit telling God about the size of our mountain and tell the mountain about the size of our God.
Amen.
That's what it gets down to. We have a great big God. We serve a mighty God. There's a verse that says, "Oh, come and let's magnify the Lord together." It's not talking about making God bigger. It's talking about our perception or our view of God becoming bigger. It's like taking a magnifying glass and then all of a sudden that object you're looking at becomes bigger. Oh, magnify the Lord. God's going to become magnified. God's going to become magnified. In verse 2 it says, as fire kindles the brushwood. Think of that. When you're in an area that has a lot of trees, a lot of forest, forest fires can just take the thing over. God's going to release a forest fire of his presence here in New England. As fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, it causes water to take on a different form. It's going to cause the whole landscape of New England to take on a different form. To make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. To make thy name known to thine adversaries. Well, that word known comes from a Greek word yada. And when you really do the research on that word yada, it's the same as the Greek word ginosko in the New Testament. And it's talking about having experiential knowledge of God. Amen. Experiential knowledge of God. So when you lay hands on somebody and you see God do a healing miracle, you're experiencing yada. You're having an experiential knowledge of the Lord. When you see God do an amazing miracle and take out a huge challenge in your life and bring you into victory, you're experiencing yada. Glory to God. And so to make thy name known to thine adversaries, these are people that have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord. God's going to make himself known with experiential knowledge to unsaved people. Yes. You know, we've had several moves of God within the last 10 or 20 years. One was in Toronto. Another was in Brownsville, Florida. Another one was in Smithton, Missouri. And they were just kind of short-lived. There's a lot of people in the church that never even knew and still don't know today that anything ever happened in Toronto or Brownsville or Smithton. But this move that we find ourselves on the front edge of is going to be a move where people who are unsaved are going to know that God has revealed his face, that God has torn the heavens and revealed himself. The church is going to know all about it. Across denominational barriers, church group separations, and all kinds of divisions and splinters and schisms, God's going to make himself known across all of that. And not only that, but he's going to reveal himself, like I said, to people that are not even saved yet. He's going to make himself known to his adversaries, that the nations, actually that is literally the heathen, will tremble at thy presence. When thou didst awesome things in verse 3, which we did not expect, thou didst come down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. Well, here he says it again. When the Bible says something to you twice in three verses, it's pretty significant. God's trying to get a message across. It's kind of like when you have a reoccurring dream. When you have that dream a second time or a third time or a fourth time, God's trying to speak something to you. It's significant. So we need to pay attention. The mountains are going to quake at the presence of God. In verse 4, it says, From old they have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides thee, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. We've been waiting for the Lord. We've been waiting for him. There's been a cry coming out from the church, from the body of Christ, for more. There's been a cry coming out from the body of Christ. Sometimes I think that maybe the body of Christ doesn't even realize what the cry is all about. But there's something inside of the spirit of people in the church that's crying out to God. Similar to what the Israelites were doing when they found themselves in Egyptian bondage and they were crying out to God. And God eventually heard their cry. It says, I heard their cry from heaven. And then he came to their rescue. He came to their aid. I believe that God is hearing the cry of the church. We want to see the real thing. Now, in the moves that I mentioned a few minutes ago, they lasted just a few short years each. This move is going to be more permanent in nature. This move is going to transcend generations. It's going to last until Jesus comes back. So I received some impressions of the Lord this week about different characteristics of this outpouring. Thank you, Carrie. And I received eight of them, and I looked at the number eight, the significance of the number eight, and it's has to do with new beginnings. It has to do with new beginnings. Also, it talks about direction, that number there. And so God's going to bring new beginnings to us. He's going to bring direction to the body of Christ at large. Point number one that the Lord gave to me concerning the characteristics of this move: the everyday believer will operate in anointings and demonstrations equal to and beyond what we see in the book of Acts. Think about that for a minute. The everyday believer will operate in anointings. I mean, the everyday believer will operate in anointings and demonstrations equal to and beyond what we see in the book of Acts. Glory to God. This is exciting. This is exciting. You know, it's not just the guy in the pulpit that God wants to bring miracles forth through. It's everybody.
Amen.
The guy in the pulpit is supposed to be the guy that equips the believers sitting in the pew so that they can go out and do the works of the Lord. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, it gives us that. Point number two, denominations will come down. And the church will become one cohesive body or unit. It'll be highly organized and responsive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you the flip side of this. For 7 years in Columbus, David Bickford and I and another guy named Al Eimer hosted a radio broadcast on a Christian radio channel in Columbus, Ohio. And what we did on Saturday nights is people would telephone in prayer requests, and the name of the show was Prayer Line. And we had a group of volunteer operators that would man the telephones, and they would write down on a slip of paper what the prayer request of the person calling in was, and they would hand the request over to us in the broadcast room, and we would just take them to the scripture. Here's what the scripture says concerning this. Here's what the scripture says concerning that. And we would pray those scriptures, because we were taking the last part of Mark chapter 16 where it says, and God confirmed the word with signs and wonders. And so we thought, well, if we give them the word, then God will have something to confirm, you know, with signs and wonders. And it was amazing how many miracles we saw. I began to chronicle the miracles, and I couldn't keep up with it. It was absolutely incredible what God was doing. One thing we noticed was the structure of the enemy's camp. Week after week, we've noticed different areas coming as prayer requests that were very similar. Like, for example, there would be a week where there would be a ton of stomach ailment or stomach disease type requests. Another week there would be a whole series of family problems or marital problems. Another one that came along in groups, it just seemed like it would be financial problems, you know. And so we were noticing that the enemy's camp is highly organized and highly structured and highly directive. And so on the flip side of what I'm just mentioning to you, here we have the body of Christ in all kinds of pieces right now, but God's bringing that together to cause the body of Christ to come and act as one cohesive unit worldwide. Amen. The body will be highly sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to His leading and direction, and we will become more organized than what we see the enemy's systems functioning like. Glory to God. Point number three, God will reveal His presence in such a way that everyone, believers and non-believers alike, will know and experience God's touch. And I mentioned that from the scripture previously. And then as an add-on to that, the third heaven will be opened wide and God will reveal His face, not only to the church, but to everyone outside the church as well. God will walk with His people much like He did with Enoch. That's what the Lord spoke to me concerning this. And then, actually, there's a passage that came to me concerning this. It's 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is going to dwell in us and walk amongst us. And everybody's going to know it. Moving on to point four. God will use children and youth as well as new believers to perform miracles of incredible stature. A great revival will spread through children, at the hands of children, at the mouths of babes and sucklings. Will the kingdom be declared? Will it be proclaimed? Now, one thing I need to mention is, you don't have to be a Christian of 20 years or 30 years to pray for somebody and see a miracle happen. There's been a couple things that have happened in my life that I've seen that I want to mention to you. For a number of years, I gave drum lessons professionally in Columbus, Ohio, and I had one student that came in, and I mentioned to him briefly one week at his first drum lesson about a couple of miracles that I saw God do when I prayed. Next thing you know, he comes in for his second lesson, and the first thing he asked me is, how can I do what you do? He wanted to know how could he possibly pray for somebody like I do and see God do a miracle? Well, I said, well, first thing you have to do is give your life to the Lord. And I asked him, I gave him a salvation check. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? I don't know. Maybe, I hope so, but you can know for sure. Let's just pray for a minute. Next thing you know, his eyes are open spiritually. Life comes to him. I asked him the question a couple minutes after we prayed a salvation prayer, and he says, I know I'm going to heaven now. I said, well, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. So we led him into that. And so only about 5 or 6 minutes had gone by in the second lesson. I said, now you're ready to do a miracle, you know? And so I didn't know what this kid had up his sleeve. But what he did is he left that lesson and went directly over to a friend of his house. And his friend had torn some ligaments and tendons in his left shoulder playing soccer. And his arm was in a sling, and the doctor said, keep your arm in that sling for about 6 or 7 more weeks, and then we'll take a look at it then. Well, my drum student went over there, had only been saved about 30 or 35 minutes, and put his hands on his shoulder and says, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command this arm to be healed. And he told his friend, now do something with your arm. He wave it in the air, and he waved it in the air, and God had healed his arm. Isn't that amazing? That messed up my theology right there. I had to reconsider a couple of things. He was saved about 35, 40 minutes, and God did a healing miracle through him. And I've heard of this happening before. Well, you know, God can get our theology to catch up with our experience, you know. So let's not knock it, you know. Let's let them go forth and expand the kingdom. Just like when the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, they're casting out devils in your name and they're not a part of our group. And he says, hey, they're doing the works of the kingdom of God. Let them keep on. Glory to Jesus. Anyway, let's look at point number five. This outpouring will span space and time. It will not be short-lived, but it will be transferred from one generation to the next. It'll be transgenerational. This has been a cry of my heart. When I had that experience that I told you about in Kenya, I came home and I've been crying out to God for 9 years. God, please let me see this in my own country.
Yes.
Please, Lord God, if you do anything for me, please let me see this in my country. And it's going to happen. And it's not going to be long from now. In point number six, this move will be all-encompassing. It will have all of the impact and manifestations of previous moves of God. But yet it'll go beyond all the previous moves of God. It will have its own unique manifestations and demonstrations as well. So anything you've ever seen or ever heard of before is going to be brought together into this move of God. And yet it's going to have its own particular characteristic demonstrations and manifestations, mostly having to do with God revealing His face. Mostly having to do with God revealing His face. Point number seven, it will not happen in only one church, but you will be able to go to hundreds of churches in New England and experience the same outpouring.
Amen.
I had a chance to minister in Hawaii. Glory to God. I got stranded there for 5 weeks. Man, I hate that when it happens, but but God was moving. I got there by faith. I'll tell you that story some other time, but anyway, I was invited to minister in a church that had a number of people minister throughout a week-long set of services, and this one guy came in from Buenos Aires, Argentina, fresh from the move of God that was happening there, and this was back in 1995 when I met this guy. His name's Claudio Cabrera. His dad is Eduardo Cabrera, and there's a book been written called That None Should Perish. The author is Ed Silvoso, and it talks about the move of God that happened in Argentina back in about 1994, 1995, right around in there. And so Claudio's father was one of the main guys that brought this move of God in. And so anyway, what happened is this move started to catch momentum. It started small, but it got big real quick. Next thing you know, there were more people than there were churches. And so what happened was, if you wanted to be a pastor, they were grabbing Sunday school teachers. You want to be a pastor? Here, man, you pastor these folks here, you know, and take a janitor. And you want to be a Sunday school teacher? Okay, you be a Sunday school teacher. They couldn't keep up with how fast God was moving. And they would take, and people would meet in one church, but they would take a pastor from another church and bring him over to this church, and they would run a rotation church to church with the pastors. And so the denomination thing just fell to the ground, and it became known as the Church at Buenos Aires. There was no denominational barrier whatsoever. And so I believe that's what's going to happen here in this move. Point number eight, the music. The music will impact and set the course and direction for generations to come. There'll be a divine interaction where God will manifest through the music. Musicians will experience music that is played in heaven and be able to play it here on earth. And there'll be like portals opening between heaven and earth, and you'll see interaction happening between musicians and even the people of God experiencing the worship of heaven and just revealing it here on earth. Glory to God. And so, well, I want you to realize I'm not really the first one to say a number of these things. Some of these things have been said before, but we're just bringing it all together and bringing it into focus. We're magnifying the Lord. So for those of you who have had a cry for an outpouring here in England, New England, for those of you who have had a cry for more of God, for the heavens to open, that we can be a little more specific with our praying and be a little more targeted with our intercession, and we can see God begin to move. Here we're going to the flip side of this. Point number eight about the music. When I was younger, there was a group called the Beatles that came out, and they impacted the earth, and the earth is still shaking from their impact. It may not have been a real godly thing, but I believe it was an apostolic anointing that they operated in, and they caused an entire generation, actually generations, to go a certain direction with music, with the music that they brought forth. God is raising up musicians in the church who have had a heart of purity toward God, and they've been crying out for a move of God, and they've been kind of sitting in the back wings, you know, and they haven't really come to the forefront, and God's going to bring them forth. And I believe that there will be an anointing even greater than what the Beatles brought forth into the earth. It'll have more impact than what the Beatles did in the negative sense. And that the musicians of the church are going to hear what's going on in heaven. They're going to be able to bring it forth into the earth, and it'll be a sound like the earth has never heard before. And people will gravitate toward this sound. Now, I'm not the first one to prophesy this either. This has been spoken maybe 10 or 12 years ago, but I believe that this is the season that we're going to see this come to pass. So anyway, that's what the impressions were that the Lord has spoken to me concerning the move of God in New England. Is there a cry coming out from your heart to see some of these things, to see all of these things, even to see beyond what I've mentioned? God wants to do it all, and He wants to do more. Glory to God. Can you pray with me for just a couple of minutes? Lord, we cry out to You. We've been crying out to You. Lord, we know You hear our cry. We want to see You move in a mighty way. We want to see You touch this area. We want to see You flow through New England and touch the uttermost parts of the earth. We want to see the heavens torn apart. We want to see Your face revealed, Lord God. We want to see You come down and turn Your face toward Your people. We want to see You do things that You've done before. And we want to see You do things that You've never done in the earth before. We want to see You come down and walk with Your people like You walked with Enoch, Lord. We want to see You touch the children and do great signs and wonders through the children. We want to see revival come forth, Lord God. We want to see You touch the land and cause denominational barriers and church separations and church schisms to fall powerless. We want to see the Church of New England come forth. We want to see the Church of the United States come forth. We want to see the Church of the world come forth, Lord God. We want You to cause the body of Christ to be caught up in realms of the Spirit that they never knew were there, Lord God, and just wallow around and embrace Your presence, Lord. We just thank You, Lord, for raining down from heaven Your purity and Your mercy and Your miraculous power. We thank You, Lord, for hearing our cry. We thank You, Lord, for moving in the face of the earth, Lord God. We thank You for moving in the music, Lord God, and touching and impacting generations. We thank You, Lord, for bringing a move forth that'll be transgenerational in nature, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from DH Missions. For more resources or for more information about DH Missions, please feel free to visit our website at www.dhmissions.com. We speak the Father's richest blessings upon you, and may His presence and favor increase in your life.